Hey everybody, and welcome to the Crimes We're Into. I have not did that
In so long.
In so long.
They're probably like, who are we and who are we listening to because of you?
I know. But I figured we should, like, you know, throw that in every once in a while.
But since Facebook hates us,
we've had a little issue. A little snag.
Which is funny because whenever I was looking up the dum-dum for the day, I'm not going to say it because people may hate me. Well, okay. I don't know. I feel like this one, not so much. But
I'm so confused.
I was looking up the dum-dum of the day and it pulled up Pelosi. Well, yeah, but probably can't do that on the podcast, so I'll go for another one.
Yeah, we're already getting censored for
our podcasts,
our podcast episodes, and just other memes. So probably shouldn't do politicky stuff.
Yeah, I wasn't going to, but I just thought it was funny not to share somehow, some way.
But yeah, so even though we're getting a little bit of censoring over there, still check us out. Go to our Facebook group page. It is TCWI Discussion Group. Check us out. Make sure you join because that's where we post any and all pictures about the episode.
And our dum-dums of the day.
And our dum-dums of the day.
Without those funniness.
So make sure, go check us out there. Go check us out on our Instagram page. And if you like bonus content, I think we're up in the at least 15 episodes, I think, over there now on our Patreon page.
Whoop, whoop.
I think. I know it's probably more or probably at 15, and that's just because we, like, pre-recorded a lot of the episodes. But we got a lot of bonus episodes over there. So go check us out at the $5 level. You're going to get a weekly bonus episode of Wrongful Convictions. Every other week, you get a Missing Monday episode, and then just our regular weekly episode. So if you're a $5 Patreon,
you'll get so much goodies for your bucks.
Exactly. Plus you get good stuff sent to you. But you can get up to 3 episodes of us in 1 week. That's 3!
3 of me, 3 of you.
3! So, if you like it, go check it out.
And if you really like one of us more than the other, you can always donate $1 to support, to show us who you like. You know, Team Tamara's winning, so keep it up.
I gotta tell everybody, I'm always hated. I'm always hated, you know. It's okay, I understand. I'm not the popular one in life.
She's never asleep. Look, this is how I make my living. This is how I make my minimum wage a year. Like, I just got my paycheck today, and yeah, I broke it up into 12 months, and I get minimum wage a month.
We haven't been doing this a year yet, though.
Anyways, we're going to bore them already, so let's get started.
All right, so today's episode, it had me shook.
You said this episode, I said, is brought to you by Leslie. I was shook.
When I heard this episode the first time.
Put it in the notes.
I did. I put it in the notes because I was shook. So I'm going to tell you about the murder of Lorraine Catherine Pearson. She goes by Kay, so that's what we're going to call her throughout the episode because Kay rolls off the tongue a whole lot easier than Lorraine. So, Kay was born on February 11th, 1968. She grew up in Pennsylvania with a big family. She has 6 siblings, 3 brothers, 3 sisters, and for all of our faithful listeners, y'all know how I feel about that. Should have been the only child. But she attended Laurel.
Who would you podcast with if you were the only child? Exactly. Bye.
Be a solo podcast, I guess, and it wouldn't be going on this long.
Let's try next week and see how many views you get. Everybody, go donate a dollar to me so you show how much you love me and how much she needs me and how much she needs to love me as a sister. This is why nobody donates a dollar to you. Carry on.
Anyways.
My commercial.
So she attended Laurel Highlands High School in Uniontown, where she met her high school sweetheart and future hubby, David. After David graduated, he joined the Army, and Kay supported her husband's career choice, and she would pack up and move basically like wherever he got stationed. And in 1997, Kay and David had their first son named Derek, and this is their like only child. So, you know, just like mine, the only child, he's spoiled probably. All your love and attention goes to the one child. But Kay became super mom as Derek got older. Kay fell into the baseball mom role. Then the family moved to Hot Springs Drive in Grovetown, Georgia. So I've never heard of Grovetown, Georgia. So I don't know if it's a little baby town. Have you ever heard of it?
I'm about to Google.
Because I don't think it's like too terribly far away from us. I think in the documentary, Dateline documentary, they said it was near Augusta. But I don't even know where Augusta is. I feel like I've been to Augusta, but I don't know where Augusta is. So David took a different job, and for once, the family was planning on planting roots.
No, it is close to Augusta, but Augusta is like 2 hours away from Atlanta. Augusta is down by Aiken.
So now that we've, you know, like Google mapped and we know where we're at, so they decided, you know, to plant roots, was going to settle down, buy a house, purchase it, and, you know, like live life there. So as the family was settling in, Kay hit it off with one particular neighbor named Rebecca. So Rebecca Steers, and she, you know, AKA goes by Becky, lives next door. So
Becky with that good hair.
Becky with that good hair. Well, I seen a bug shot. She didn't have some. Her hair was not looking good
in the hair that day.
She was not looking good in the hair day. So Rebecca, or Becky, was married to Tony. They had 5 kids together. And this is where I don't. In Dateline, I think they said 2 kids were from a different marriage. And in Snapped, they said 3 kids was from a different marriage. Whether or not she had 5 altogether, the first few was from a first marriage. The last few was from Tony.
But did she birth them all, or did some?
She birthed them all.
Then it don't matter. She had 5 kids.
She had 5 kids. But during this time, her husband was, you know, like a truck driver. He did have military background, but at this time, he was a long-haul truck driver.
Oh, man, I think I've seen this one.
Did you?
Probably not. But I do remember seeing. I feel like I will. Let's see if we get there.
Okay. Oh, gosh. If I tell you a story and you already know it, I am going to be more. I'm going to be more shook than anything.
I don't remember how it ends. Like, you're going to go through it, and I'm going to be like, okay, I remember this part, just like Jessica, and be like, I watched it all? Really?
Rebecca was an office manager at Healing Hands Physical Therapy, and she got Kay a job working there in the office. Because, you know, besties got to look out for their besties. So the two were hip to hip together. They died together. They vacationed together. They were even baseball moms together, because Rebecca's younger sons was the same age as Derek. So they were like on the same team. So they
find out if I know this.
The two were like together. So now we're going to jump to the morning of December. Oh my God, not December. We're going to jump to the morning.
Day of March 25th of 2009.
Yeah, I just see the 25th, and you know, my brain goes all the way to December, like December 25th. But no, March 25th, 2009. You know, this morning was just like any other morning. Kay woke up. She got Derek ready for school. After she dropped him off, she stopped by McDonald's. She got her a burrito meal with a coffee, you know, like I did this morning. But anyways, I was adding that in. I think
she's trying to get to that handyman.
But no, she did stop. She got breakfast. I don't know what kind of breakfast she got, but she did get a coffee. But anyways, she was trying to hurry back because she was meeting a handyman that was coming out to the house. So around 8:30, this worker stops at the Pearson's house and he noticed that there was some broken glass at the back door window and he thought somebody might have broke into the house. So he stuck his head in the doorway, yelled for Kay, but when he did not get a reply, he decided to call her phone, but again, no one answered. As he walked around the house, he saw a teenager sitting across the street. This ended up being Rebecca's oldest 22-year-old son named Michael. And Michael, we just want to throw it out there, does not have the best past. Like, he's got a drug history. I'm not like, oh, if you do drugs, you're bad. He did weed, which, I mean, not my cup of tea. But if you do it, that's good, great, dandy, whatever. But he also did crystal meth. And supposedly, he was on crystal meth at this moment in time. So, you know.
Boy, what did he do?
So Michael walks up to the construction worker and says, did you say somebody broke into this house? Because my mom's was too. The worker went back to his truck, got the gun because he's like, oh, snap. Like, somebody's out breaking into houses. If they come bebopping out, I'm ready. And then he calls 911 to report the two break-ins. So, you know, cops tell him, don't go in the house. The guy was like, I didn't want to go in the house anyway because I don't want my DNA if there's something like a legit break-in.
Yeah.
So cops arrive at the house and they walk in and notice Kay laying in a pool of her own blood. She was attacked and beaten with a baseball bat, which was her son. So like when I filmed that, I was like, oh God, I would feel so bad. If I was her son and know that my mom was beaten to death with my baseball bat and a clawed hammer. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. When they got there, Kay was still breathing. So once they found her laying in the garage, they like rushed her to the hospital as soon as they could. During this time, Rebecca and her 19-year-old son, Christopher, arrived back home to see what the heck was going on with the break-in and to see if her friend was okay. Rebecca is yelling, is she alive? Is she alive? Officers give her a little bit of information of what's going on before she rushed to the hospital to be by her best friend's side. Cops asked her if she's seen anything that morning. And Rebecca tells the officers, no, we both left the house the same time. Kay was taking Derek to school and she was on her way to work with Christopher. He was going to go to work with his mom that day at the office so he could earn some extra money. They barely got to the office before Michael called and they turned around. So during this time, police were searching the two houses that were broken to see if they could find any clues. At Kay's and David's house, the master bedroom was destroyed. The mattress was on the ground and everything looked like somebody was just like going through it. At Rebecca and Tony's house, the front door was open. Golf clubs were laying in the doorway and her house was destroyed also with some stuff missing. But on the back door, they found drops of Kay's blood. So cops were like, okay, so they ransacked Kay's house, tacked her to death nearly, and then ran over to Rebecca's house, ransacked it. While Rebecca was at the hospital with her friend, officers brought Michael, her oldest son, in for questioning since technically he was first on both scenes. They asked what he was doing at the time. He told them he was coming back from a friend's house and officers were quickly able to follow up that he really was with friends that morning. So they started moving to other family members in the household to see if they knew anything. So they questioned Tony And he said he didn't know anything. He left for work around 4 a.m. and was on the road. They were able to verify that with his work. They questioned David. He was on a business trip in California when he got this call. He did arrive back home, and Kay was in the ICU on life support. The next morning, the family received news that Kay wasn't showing any brain activity, so the family decided to pull her off of life support. So now cops were dealing with two break-ins, one ending with murder. This is where it starts getting like, what the what's? So the evening of March 26th, just hours after Kay passes away, something else happens. Cops were called out to Helping Hands.
I'm thinking Helping Hands.
Did I say Helping Hands? Because...
Oh, you said Helping Hands, and I'm like, that's not right.
Because every time I wrote this, Tamara, I wrote Helping Hands. So that's why when you said that, I was like, did I say it? Because I literally wrote Helping Hands so many times when I was writing this.
No, you said it right.
Okay. So...
You know how much I like correcting you.
But... Rebecca was shot, Tamara.
No.
Yeah. After being at the hospital all day, Rebecca went back to the office to catch up on, you know, all the work that she's missed. So she told officers that she'd left the office around 8, and a man approached her in the parking lot wearing a white hat demanding money. He shot her in both legs. Luckily, they just barely hit her. But they found bullet casings of a 25 caliber pistol. I feel like I said that really weird. Caliber pistol. She was telling officers of her last 24 hours, and they started to think that possibly these two accidents could be linked. But the only thing is, Rebecca said she didn't get a good look at the man who shot her. The next morning, officers received a tip that could possibly point them in the right direction of who could be causing all the issues in this town. This caller's name was Jerry, Rebecca's brother, who was in jail at the time that Kay and his sister was both attacked. But he told officers he believed his sister had somehow been involved. So apparently, weeks before the attack, she asked her brother, did he know of any way or anyone that could kill Kay? You know, because that just gets brought up in everyday conversation. Why would someone literally want to kill the person that they're attached to at the hip? Well, it's because, you know, she was having an affair on Tony with David, Kay's husband.
So, Rebecca... was having an affair with Kay's husband.
Uh-huh.
So wanted to kill her, Kay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Your eyes were like going this way, and I'm just like, did she got me? But she got me. So David and Rebecca.
I'm looking at my screen reading it.
All I see is like you just like look it up.
My laptop's here. My here.
So David and Rebecca started their affair 4 months earlier. It was mainly emotional and not really physical. I mean, it was physical, but mainly emotional. But 2 weeks earlier, David told Rebecca it was over. He said he wasn't going to leave his wife. He didn't want to leave his son. And maybe after his son left the house, went to college, they could revisit the option. But until then, it's over. He's done. He's not breaking up his family. Rebecca's like, wait 6 or 7 years or take matters into my own hands. Let's see. She did like any normal person would do in this position. She told Tony, hey, I cheated on you.
She didn't hire a hitman.
No, she didn't hire a hitman. She just told her husband, hey, I've been cheating on you. Just to let you know. Pissed off Tony calls Kay and tells him that his wife and her husband have been hooking up, having phone sex, and yada, yada, yada. Now, Kay's probably seeing the color red. So she confronts her husband about these rumors that she hears about him and her best friend. They talk it out. They agree to stay together. And they're going to make it work for their son. So Kay just had one single request. I would have more than one. But she said, if we're going to stay together, this house is going up for sale. And
never living in it again. You ain't having a phone.
It's done. So 3 days.
I'm touching your eyeballs.
3 days before her attack, Kay happily walked herself out that front door, shoved that for sale sign down in the ground. It was like, bam. And so after officers talked with Jerry, they decided to call some family members back in for questioning. So they're like, yeah, this is looking like an inside job. Like it's something happened between the two households. So the first person they call was Michael, you know, the guy that was sitting on the outside of the house. And this time during the, oh my God, it, blah, blah, blah.
Interrogation.
There you go. There we go. I could not get the word out. I'm like, we've only said it a million times today in our last episode that we recorded for Wrongful. But they were not so nice. But Michael did confess this time that he knew his mother was, you know, with another man. He just didn't know who this guy was, but he knew his mom had a hate for the wife. So officers were like, okay, we know who the ringleader is. We just got to figure out who her puppet is. So they conducted two search warrants, one for Christopher's house, the second for Healing Hands. Both Christopher and Rebecca were taken in under arrest during this time. David was also brought in to tell what part he played in this. He told the officers that the affair began in August of 2008, but he never wanted to leave his family. He told officers that Kay received texts saying, want to see who your husband's with? Come to the parking lot now. He also told officers that even though he ended things, he was still talking to her on the phone even the night before all this happened. So were they really ending it? If you was ending it, you wouldn't have been talking to your mistress the night before your wife got killed. So after talking to David, they moved to talk to Christopher and Rebecca. Christopher denied to the break-in and killing Kay. Then after that, he just shut down and said, I want a lawyer. But Rebecca, on the other hand, she did. At first, during her interrogation, she started off how she didn't do it and how her and Tony were working things out. You know, they were trying to, you know, like work on their marriage, be together forever. Then 2 hours later, she started to crack. She then admitted that she told Christopher about the affair and how she wished that she could be with him. Christopher then told his mom how he could make it happen for her. She told officers that she didn't plan anything out with her son, but on the morning of the attack, Rebecca went to pick Christopher up at his house and he hid upstairs from his siblings. Christopher snuck over to Kay's house, attacked her, then called his mom. They put his bloody clothes in a book bag and then headed to her work where Christopher could clean up as they were waiting on the phone call. Rebecca said she couldn't call 911 because she was in shock that her son killed someone that he thought she wanted dead. After the interview, they were both booked for murder with no bond set. On May 12, 2012, the two walked into the courtroom facing death penalties. But on that day, everyone was shocked when they took the plea deal to life in prison with no possible parole.
So, this one is more of an awareness for the summer coming up. It's a video. If you want to go ahead and pull that video up now.
Okay.
And watch it. But a little note to yourself, as summer comes, a warmness weather comes. Do not climb on any roofs of homes, buildings, whatever, to try to jump in a pool. You won't make it.
Oh! His head goes, ba-dunk, ba-dunk. If he didn't die, he got knocked out.
I'm sure he got knocked out, but it didn't say he died. I mean, I don't think that'd be kind of like joking about it.
He said, da-doop, da-doop. Like Humpty Dumpty fell off that house.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to make fun or make it funny. I'm just trying to bring awareness. Don't be a dummy and jump off a roof.
There's diving boards for that.
Yes. Please do not jump off roofs and bounce your head off the concrete, because that's dumb. Just jump off the concrete into the pool.
Please do. I mean, please jump off the concrete or the diving board, not the roof.
Yeah.
Oh, dear Jesus.
Yeah, because just don't. All right. Well, bye.
Not bye yet. We got to forewarn the people.
Well, hurry.
Next week, we are talking about the Cecil Hotel documentary. So it's going to be like a recap of what we did a few weeks ago or a month ago, or I don't even know when we did that episode. It's been a few weeks ago. So if you have not watched the documentary of the Cecil Hotel on Netflix, make sure you go watch it. So when we discuss it next week, you'll know what the heck we're talking about. Now you can say bye, Tamara.
Bye.
Bye, you guys.